Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to continue talking about tithing versus giving, what the scriptures say. And just as a reminder, it's always great to look at how tithing versus giving affects our doctrines and the implications it has for what goes on in churches and that kind of thing. And we'll get to that. But for right now, just as a reminder, we really are just focusing on specifically what the scriptures say. Because we want to be able to draw some conclusions when we start getting into the application based on reality, not what we think, you know, based on what we've been taught or the application first. If we're saying that we're doing something because it's scriptural, we want to make sure that we understand whether it is or not. And there's one, in that kind of a situation, there's only one way to go about it, and that is to go through the scriptures and really discover for ourselves what the scriptures say about tithing. So we've been talking about the tithing in the scriptures before the law, before the law was written down, and we started last week talking about the law, the written law of Moses, or the codified law. And we started talking about the tithing instituted as part of the covenant in Leviticus. Now, just to step back a little bit, when we talk about law, we're talking about at least two different things, broad categories. One is the concept of law, the concept of the law that regulates our relationship with God and with others and ourselves. Is something lawful? Is it legal? And for our relationship with God, God established law through covenant in order to establish boundaries and aspects of relationship. God is the one who gets to determine how he relates to us. And for this period of time, he uses the law. He gave us the law in order to give us the outline, the steps that we need to take, the requirements necessary in order to have a relationship with him as a holy God. So that's one aspect. Now, the other aspect is the actual what's written down. So there's the concept that in order to have a relationship with God, there were requirements. And then the law also as what those requirements were or are. So we're going to discuss both, but when we talk about the law, we'll also try to distinguish between whether we're talking about what's written down or what is implied. In other words, what is God, why is God saying what he's saying, and how does it affect our relationship with him? So last week we were talking about the tithing as instituted as part of the covenant in Leviticus. And that was just basically that one-tenth of everything from the land, either plant or animal, was considered holy and belonged to God. So that's a pretty straightforward application of one-tenth of everything belonged to God. Now, in Numbers, Numbers 18:19 through 28, we're going to discover God told the people what to do with it. In Leviticus, he says, the tenth of everything belongs to me. And then in Numbers, he says, here's what you do with it. So Numbers 18:19 through 28 follow. All the heave offerings of the holy things, which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. And again, this is written to the Levites, the priesthood. So he's saying, all the heave offerings of the holy things, which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I, being God, have given to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. So he's saying that the people give it to you, the people give it to the priesthood, and they go, that I give it to you. If this is your, basically, your payment, this is what you do for a living. So I'll start again. All the heave offerings of the holy things, which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Hereafter, the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever, throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore I have said to them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak thus to the Levites, and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithe. And your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus you shall also offer a heave offering to the Lord from all your tithes, which you receive from the children of Israel, and you shall give the Lord's heave offering from it to Aaron the priest. So Israel was directed to tithe directly to the Levites, which was the tribe of Israel that was set aside as a tithe, different tribes, the peoples, to be holy unto the Lord. The tithe was to be their inheritance, their payment, since they will be completely devoted to the administration and implementation of the tabernacle of the Lord and its ordinances and feasts and sacrifices. They weren't even allowed to have any land of their own. though they were given several regions from the other tribes in which to live. Now, the other tribes of Israel could not come and take care of the tabernacle. If they did, they would die. Only the Levites could. They were to spend all of their time ministering to the Lord and to his people. The Levites, in turn, were to tithe what they received to the Lord in the form of a heave offering, which simply meant that it was held up to the Lord. And then that was in turn given to Aaron and his family, or whoever was the high priest at that time. So the purpose of the heave offering, this tithe, was given to the Levites to take care of every aspect of the Lord's relationship with his people, so that the Israelites could fulfill God's requirements, so that they would know what his laws required, so they could make the sacrifices properly, so they could fulfill the law. To do that, they would have to be putting all their time and effort into taking care of the things of the tabernacle, of the covenant, of the relationship with God. That wouldn't leave them any time to plow their own field, to take care of their own vineyards. So since they were taking care of the God relational aspect of the life of the community would take care of the practical day-to-day needs of the priesthood. Next, in Deuteronomy, again, so we've gone from Leviticus, Numbers, to Deuteronomy, and what we see is little by little, God is explaining how the tithe is to be applied, how it works in reality, in practicality. The tithe of the feasts is described in Deuteronomy 12, 5 through 19. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses, out of all your tribes, to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing what is right in his own eyes. For as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. But when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice offerings which you vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates, since he has no portion nor inheritance with you. Now take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. However, you may slaughter and eat meat within all your gates, whatever your heart desires, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. The unclean and the clean may eat of it, of the gazelle and the deer alike. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it on the earth like water. You may not eat within your gates the tithe of your grain, or your new wine, or your oil, or of the firstborn of your herd or your flock, of any of your offerings which you vow, of your freewill offerings, or of the heave offering of your hand. But you must eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God chooses, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite who is within your gates. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all to which you put your hands. Take heed to yourself that you do not forsake the Levite as long as you live in your land. Now, one thing hopefully you've noticed, that when the instruction is, the law describes this series about they are to do the sacrifices and partake of the different offerings in the spot that God puts them. He says, do it here. Don't do it at home. You can partake of feasting, and you can take, you know, partake of your ordinary meals in your own home. But those things that have been set aside for me, you have to do it where I tell you to do it. Now, in the process of that, he just makes a list. And he talks about the burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings, your choice offerings, and things that you've made a vow to the Lord with. So the tithe is just a list of requirements of things that the people were, by the law, required to either give to the Levites or to an appointed place or be consumed by fire. And we'll get into some of the other things that were required. But the tithe, the first tenth, is just one aspect. It's like number two of a list of seven. And so we want to start keeping things into perspective when we start talking about tithe, when we start saying tithe, that's what we're talking about, is that first tenth. The Israelites were instructed as to where to go to give their tithes, which was wherever the tabernacle or presence of God was, and the manner in which they should be eaten as a family or a nation. They should be eaten with rejoicing, and to especially include the Levites. Now, unlike the tithe described in Numbers, which was given to the Levites, this tithe was consumed by the ones doing the tithing and was not specifically dedicated to the Lord. So this tithe was associated with the feasts and festivals. So that's something, the whole aspect we've, you know, want to consider is, part of the aspect, there's a tithe that's given as part of the feast, that you bring the tithe of your harvest, of what God has said, this is what is going to be the feast, and then you feast on it. It's not for somebody else to feast on it. It's not for somebody else to benefit from it. It's for you to rejoice in your relationship with the blessings of God that he has given you. So this is not just to support the Levites and to support the instruction of the law through the covenant being given through the priesthood, but also it's a one-on-one reminder that God blesses his people. And here's a way to remind yourself is take a portion of the increase I have given you through the year and enjoy it. Have a party as a group. You all come together, come out to the park, have a big party. Everybody bring their picnic baskets. It says God tells you this is what's going to be in your picnic basket. And come out and enjoy yourselves. Hang out together. Renew your relationships with one another and rejoice in the increase that God has given you. So, again, that's the tithe that's associated with feasts and festivals. Then in Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 through 29, we learn about the tithe that's for the priesthood and the poor. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands which you do. So there's a lot of similarities to the previous iteration of the tithe, where if you are supposed to go to the place where God has set, this is where my name's going to be, this is where you're going to have your picnic, if it's too far for you to come with your wine or with your grain, if the grain spoils, or if you're going to sacrifice an animal and it can't come that far, you can exchange it for money. And then when you get to the city, get to that place where you're going to have the celebration, you can buy what you want to celebrate with. Here, additional circumstances regarding the tithe continue to be clarified. For those who lived a long distance from the center of the nation, so that the animals would not be up to traveling the distance, or the grain would spoil. The Israelites would convert their tithe, which was basically grain and animals, to their value in currency, or gold and silver. Now, this also posed a risk, because when those celebrations were to be held, everybody knew about it. And so if there were travelers heading in that direction and they didn't have something to sacrifice, a lot of times people would assume that they had gold and silver. So this passage was not without danger. But they would take the money to the place the Lord chooses, purchase there whatever they want. And again, they're admonished to include the Levites. A third tithe is specified here. Every 3 years, the tithe, the tenth of the year's produce, not animals, just what was grown, increase, was to be put into a community storehouse. This was to be a resource for the local Levites. And those who were in need, the stranger, orphaned, and widowed, the one bringing the tithe did not partake of this tithe. Neither was it dedicated to the Lord. This tithe was set aside to replenish the supply for the priesthood and the needy of the land. Let's go through that again. We've talked and looked and seen other tithes that were meant specifically for the priesthood. And they'd be given to the Levites, and then a tithe of that would be given to the high priesthood's family. Then there were also the feast tithes, that you would take a tenth of your increase, go to the where God appoints, and consume it yourselves. Then this third tithe that's set aside for every 3 years basically is to make sure that there's a buffer, that there's an emergency grain, emergency resources for the stranger, for the needy, for the poor, for the widow. They cannot get that have no other resources. They are at the mercy of the community. And also, in case the tenth of the people, the tithe of the people, does not meet the needs of the priesthood, of the Levites. So it's the tithe of the year's produce, not animals, because again, they're going to put it in storehouses. So it was a resource for the local Levites, because here all these people are going to come and they're going to make much excessive demands on the Levites in that area. But also those who were in need, the stranger, the orphaned, and the widowed. So the God directly did not receive the tithe. The priesthood did not directly receive the tithe. And the people who brought the tithe did not receive directly of the tithe. Instead, it went into an emergency storehouse. So when we start looking at, we start seeing that maybe what we thought was real simple, a pretty straightforward construct of, okay, this is what you tithe. You tithe, you take your income, you put in the basket as it's going by, and then you've done your tithing. Well, hopefully by now you're starting to see that the scriptures are much more complex. And so we want to, again, as we start making decisions on how we want to apply and make decisions about how we are going to interact in this area, we want to do our research. We want to have an understanding of what God means by, or what's in the scriptures about the whole concept of tithing. So we'll be picking that up next week, next Sunday, and talking about additional aspects of tithing. And some of these are just, again, multiples of taking a tenth. Part of the law, but the tithe itself is mostly being used as a tenth. So drop me a line if you have any more questions, Diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. Until next week, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great weekend.